morning. You like to sing?
Yeah.
Feels good to sing together, doesn't it? Doesn't it give you a good feeling inside? Well, it might not come as much of a surprise to you to find out that singing is actually good for you as well. There's you may have read this on the net, but there's a major study that has been done in Sweden that is being passed around quite a lot right now. Researchers at the University of Sweden decided to study people who sing in groups, particularly in church groups. And they studied choristers who sing in choir. And what they discovered was that when choristers or groups of people sing together, their heartbeats begin to synchronize together. And that's really good for your heart. It has a calming effect, and they say it's at least as beneficial for your heart as doing yoga. I like that. The scientists asked a group of teenagers also to do an exercise where they did three kinds of choral exercises, humming and singing a hymn and chanting. And they monitored their heart rhythms during each of those three things to see what would happen. Well, they were able to show definitively that singing together as doing the hymn part had a dramatic effect on heart rate variability. Now that is a factor that's really important when it comes to heart disease and heart care. They say that song is a form of regular controlled breathing, and it helps you relax, and there are indications that it has this heart benefit. In fact, they're not the only ones to figure this out. I read around a little bit because I wanted to find out more, and it turns out there are several different studies that show pretty much the same thing. Cardiff University in 2012 found that lung cancer patients who sang in a choir had greater lung capacity than those who didn't. Singing has been shown to boost our immune system, reduce stress levels, and according to a report published in the Journal of Music Therapy in 2004, singing together can help patients cope with chronic pain. A joint study at Harvard and Yale in 2008 went even a step further. They claimed that choral singing in a particular Connecticut town that they did a lot of research in actually increased the residents' life expectancy. A lot of benefits, right? It has all kinds of physical and emotional benefits: aerobic exercise, improved breathing, posture, mindset, confidence, and self-esteem. Singing alone is good, but singing together with others is better. Here's a factoid. Great Britain right now has a huge response to choir singing for some reason. They can't actually explain it. In Great Britain, there are right now more than 3,000 groups listed on the British Choir's website. And the web group Rock Choir, which sings pop tunes and things like that, has over 16,000 members in 250 communities all across that country. There's said to be more choirs in England right now than there are fish and chip shops, and I think that says a lot. If you've been around people who have dementia, singing together can be really a positive experience. I've ministered and done services several times in seniors' residence, and I've found that if I included a lot of the old hymns and stuff, that pretty soon they'd be singing along. In fact, there were times where people were singing so, and these are people who can't carry on a regular conversation, but there would be people in that group who were singing along with such clarity that I was pretty much the only one in the room and needed the words. It's amazing what happens, and what happens in our brain as well. Well, we're going to look at music a little bit this morning, but from a slightly different angle. Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God." Could you put that slide up, Chelsea? My control's not working, so... thank you. One of my favorite U2 songs is called 40. And it's called 40 because the lyrics come directly out of this particular part of this particular psalm. And I love it. I love the way it sounds, and I love the way it makes me feel when I hear it sung. I will sing a new song. Do you know that song? Some of you do, anyway. This morning we're going to talk about what it's like to sing a new song to the Lord. And surprisingly, it isn't just about singing new songs. I want to talk about what it means when the Lord puts a new song in your heart. Where does that take you? Lord Jesus, teach us from your word this morning. Put a new song on our lips and in our heart. Give us your heart to love as you love. Give us ears to hear the song that you're singing to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ella Fitzgerald has said about singing, the only thing better than singing is more singing. St. Augustine said, he who sings prays twice. Now, he's talking about giving verbal praise, but also singing from your heart. You know, and that's what was going on this morning, right? We were singing, and as we were singing, it was obvious that we were really invested in it, that what was going on in our heart was coming out. And I think music helps us to express those things that are deep inside of us, those things that are sometimes very hard to express. When we express those things to God together, when we're singing together, worshiping together, when our hearts are open to God, it's worship. It's worship. When it's focused towards God, it's worship. A moment ago, I mentioned the band U2, which I really enjoy. And this week, I guess it's on my mind because as I was working in the office, I had some of their music playing in the background and something that sort of takes me back to my college days. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, why is it that we sort of latched on to this group? Why did it become so popular when I was, you know, in the late 80s? And I think part of it was because this particular band was grappling with difficult issues. They weren't afraid to look at something in the face, including the bad stuff, and say, hey, that's not right. You know, and we resonated with that. And they also articulated the spiritual struggle, because two out of the three members were Christians at the time. And it was like they were wrestling with this question of, how do I reconcile this faith I have with this crazy, corrupt, broken-down world that needs fixing? You know, how do we reconcile that? And we all struggle with that, don't we? If we're honest. So there's songs like 40, which is mostly scripture. There's Sunday, Bloody Sunday, which at the end of it, he sings about the victory that Jesus won, talking about the cross, or the restlessness of the human heart, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, there are all these things that resonate with our real-life struggles, the struggles of our humanity. Well, guess what? That's the same thing that the psalmists, David and the other psalmists, were wrestling with in their day. You know, all of the same questions, they were wrestling with real life. They were struggling with what's going on in the world around them. And they loved God, but maybe they didn't always understand God. And they didn't always understand what God was doing or not doing in a situation. They faced enormous struggles in life, but they still gave God the credit for helping them through it. And they begged God at times to help them with what was still happening in their life and what was still yet to come. As a king, David especially had a lot to face. But the one thing that we know about David is that he trusted and believed in God. I want to take us back to that Psalm 40 in verses 1 through 3. And I love this, he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. What made David sing? How come he's singing? Is he just a happy guy and he just likes to sing? You know, we know he's a songwriter, so you know, obviously he likes to sing. But what made him sing a new song of praise to God? What put that song of praise in his mouth? Well, the very first words of the psalm, I think, are pretty important in understanding that question. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Are you patient when you're waiting for the Lord? I'll tell you, I'll confess, I'm not always very patient when I'm waiting for God to move or to do something, to act, or to respond to something I've been praying about. You know, I'm not always very patient at that. Maybe you aren't either. But maybe my understanding of patiently waiting is not quite the same as what David's talking about here. You know, you notice he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. So, you know, when I think of patiently waiting, I'm thinking of quietly sitting without complaint until something happens or somebody finally arrives to meet my expectations. But David says, he turned to me and heard my cry. What cry? Wasn't David patiently waiting? It's like sitting in a office waiting for the doctor with a magazine and, you know, just he'll get here when he's ready, you know, when he finally gets around to me. That's the image I have in my head. But it says he was waiting for God, but his psalm implies that while he was waiting on God, he was still crying out to God in his distress. It's happening at the same time. Kind of mixed here. He trusts God, but he continues to ask God for deliverance. What does that tell us about waiting on the Lord? It tells us that waiting on the Lord isn't a passive thing. It isn't us just going, oh, well, he'll get here when he gets here. No, we keep talking to God throughout. Verse 2 says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. Hebrew speak here. This is Hebrew speak for God rescued me. He lifted me up and he put my feet on a rock, a firm place to stand. That phrase, he set my feet on a rock, appears over and over in the scripture. And even the concept is there in the house built on the rock in the New Testament. It refers to not only foundation, but also God's rescue and deliverance. Some people believe when they read this psalm and they look at some of the psalms that David wrote about the same time in his life, some people believe that David was sick at this time or had been sick and had just come through it on the other side. In fact, there are places where David talks about being sick to the point of being near death. And some people think that this is what he's talking about when he says, God rescued me, God delivered me. But whatever the event was in David's life, he remembered it, and he remembered and recognized God's hand in saving him. So he trusts God, and it gives him cause to sing praise to God. But this new song part begins with, I waited patiently for the Lord. It starts back there. Have you ever been delivered of something? Gotten well from something, gained a victory over something, or had an answer to prayer that is so obviously a God thing that it really does make you want to sing? I've had that experience. I know probably all of you have had that at one time or another. And maybe like David, when we go through those kinds of experiences, God puts a new song in your mouth. You know, a new sense of his presence, a new experience of God. Hebrew scholars suggest that when it says a new song, it's not actually, he says that it doesn't have to be a new composition. It can actually be, the newness can be not necessarily the song itself, but the words of the song itself, but the newness of the song can be because of this part of our relationship with God feels new. We're experiencing him in a fresh way, and it makes him sing in a new way. And so the new song could still be about old stuff, but it's about how God's changed his heart and what God's doing there. And as he waits on the Lord, he's still talking to God, he's still praying, he's still trusting in God, and his song is new. It's fresh. Of course, David wrote Psalm 40, so we know he actually did write a new song, right? Practically speaking. But what's really new isn't as much the song or the words of the song. What's really new is what's happening in David's heart. Something about David's relationship became fresh as he waited on God, and it became new again. If you only looked at these first few lines, if you only looked at these three verses, you know, you'd get this impression that everything's hunky-dory. Everything's good in David's life. There's nothing else happening. I've been rescued. God did it. Let's move on, you know. But read the whole psalm. What does it say? What does it talk about? As it goes on, there's some of it that is praise. Some of it is lament. Some of it is about the specific troubles that David is going through. And some of it is David pleading with the Lord to do something about it. And then there's more praise. Have you ever done that with God? Gone back and forth? You find yourself sometimes, you know, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, you know? Shifting gears when you talk to God. Maybe you pleaded with God to change something. And then in the very next words, you're praising God for what he's done and what he's doing. And at the same time, even though you're sort of almost begging God to move, you still have this belief that God is going to act. You have this trust in your heart that's there. You know, there's all this stuff going on at the same time. And with all that that's going on in your head, you still felt like you could rest in God. You know, that's kind of a crazy thing. That's David, though. With all this negative stuff going on in David's life, he recognizes that God has saved him in the past, and therefore he believes that God will save him in the future. And he's able to praise God with a new song, even though he's in the middle of all this difficulty, with a changed heart, because God put a song in his mouth. You know, we often ask these kinds of questions. You know, is it okay to have mixed feelings? You know, is it okay to... You know, I think we're, as a people, as God's people, sometimes we're all one way or the other. You know, it's like we just feel like, well, if there's any hint of doubt anywhere in this thing, then, you know, it's just not going to be right. And yet, sometimes it's our doubt that leads us to ask God the most important questions in our life and then hear the answers that he's going to give us. Eric was talking about listening to God this morning, you know, talking to God. Listening to God, how do you know his voice? You know his voice the more time you spend with him, the more you recognize his voice when it comes. You're not the only one who has a million questions going through your mind when your spiritual life is, or in your spiritual life when things get tough. You know, we all have those experiences, and these godly people of the Bible that we hold up as the perfect examples, they had them too. They went through those same kinds of struggles and experiences as you go through. But through it all, there's the recognition that there is great value in being persistent with our prayer in the middle, even if we've asked him already, in the middle of our struggle. And there's great value in praising God at the same time. It keeps our relationship going. After all, our relationship with God isn't just about what he gives us. It isn't just about, you know, whether he answered this specific prayer in the way that we were hoping, and or whether we got the Porsche or not that we were praying for. Sometimes we pray for the wrong things and it doesn't come, right? But it's not about what God gives us. It's more about the relationship that we have with God, you know, and all the things he's doing in us and helping us to endure and to get through the difficulty. This is the living God. And we have a relationship with him. We can talk to the living God, creator of the universe. And so you're going through a struggle. You're going through this difficulty in your life. And yet you can still praise him. Yet you can still pray to him because you have this relationship that's ongoing. And it doesn't stop or start because of the situation that we're in. It's something we establish with God, and that he establishes in our heart, and that allows us to sing praise to God in the middle of this stuff. David mixes his feelings all the time in the Psalms. One minute he's up, the next minute he's down. But his faith in God, his trust in God, never wavers. It's always there. Even when he's complaining, he still trusts God. You know. I want to read this whole psalm to you. If you have your Bible with you, you can follow along with us. That's Psalm 40. But I want to read it, and I want to encourage you to listen as I read it. Listen, what is David's new song? Listen for the new song and the parts of the new song. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Now here's where David's tone shifts. Here's where he shifts gear. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. And may all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be applied or appalled at their own shame. And then he shifts gears again. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. And then he shifts gears again. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. So you see all those different kinds of emotions going on in there? You see all the different things that are happening and all this stuff that's sort of jumbled up in his head that's coming out at the same time. But in the middle of that, did you hear the new song? Did you hear the new song? David's praise. He's in trouble. I mean, he's in real trouble here. He's surrounded by his enemies, but he sings about God's love. He sings about God's faithfulness. He sings about God's deliverance. He talks about the wonders that God has done and the wonders God has planned for him. He sings about God's righteousness. He sings about God's saving acts. This is David's new song. In the middle of all this stuff, he's in trouble politically, he's in trouble personally. People even want to kill him. But he has a new song, and it's a song of praise to God. Why? Why? Because God put it there. Very simple answer. God put it there. He put a new song in my heart. James says, and this is a big part of it, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And David comes before the Lord and he obviously is acknowledging that he needs God. There's a humility in that. You know, when we try to tough it out on our own, we don't get very far, right? I mean, we may get some immediate solutions, but in the long term, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. It's that old chorus, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. In the Old Testament, 6 different times in the Psalms, it talks about putting a new song in your heart or in your mouth or singing a new song to the Lord. 6 different times. The only other place in the Old Testament it appears is in the book of Isaiah. It appears there once. But each time, it's in the context of praise to God. Often in the middle of being delivered or just after having been delivered. A new song. Well, can you sing a new song to the Lord this morning? Are you able to do that? Can you praise Him even when things are tough? Let me encourage you to wait on the Lord like David. Not passively, not just sitting and letting things happen to you, but continuing to talk to God throughout whatever it is that you're going through. Keep talking to Him. You don't have to suffer in silence. That's not the way martyrdom works. We can continue to have this wonderful relationship with God in the midst of all kinds of things. Talk to Him about your needs. Talk to Him about your hurts. Talk to Him about your complaints. Talk to Him about your desires. Just keep talking to God. That's what David was doing here. And God put a new song in his heart. And you heard that new song. And He will put a new song in your mouth. If you wait on Him. And God will remind you that He was there for you in these situations in the past. And that gives us the courage to know that He's going to be there for us in the situations that are going to unfold in the future too. And even though it might not be true right now, there will be a day when you will sing a new song of rejoicing. And there will be joy in that singing. God has not forgotten you. Not in the past. God has not forgotten you in the present. And God will not forget you in the days to come. He is there always. He always loves. He always remembers who you are. He knows who you are. And He loves you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. We want to hear from You. We want to be transformed by You. We trust You for our salvation. With boldness, we confess our needs to You. We ask for Your deliverance, just as David did. In the middle of our trials, we praise Your name. And we are comforted by Your Spirit. As we worship You, You put a new song in our mouths and in our hearts, which are transformed by our Lord Jesus. In His holy name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing one more song together.